78 to launch off a message. This has been a very interesting message to prepare for. I had a title for it, and after studying it for a while, it seemed as though that the Lord was taking it a different direction, but I'm going to keep the title as the trials of suffering of Joseph and the triumph of Judah. And so as we look at, as we turn to Psalms and 78, I'm going to read, and then I'll have a short word of prayer. I know this is prayer night, and we spend time praying. And I hate to see any of that diminished in any way, but nevertheless, the Lord has a reason and purpose for us being here tonight together. And so, if you would stand, please, for the reading of the Scripture. We won't stand for all of the reading of the Scripture. We'll be standing all night, but nevertheless, this for this right here. And if you may, if you're not able to stand, that's fine. But as we read in Psalm 78, as we come to, just a minute here, just give me a second here. I just had it there. Psalm 78 and 67. Okay, we will begin after that. Okay, it says here, moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. In verse 69, he built his sanctuary like high places, like the earth, which he hath established forever. He chose David also, his servant, and took him from the sheepfold, from following the ewes. Great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. You're going to concentrate on 67 and 68. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. And let's pray. Dear Father, we pray that you would please bless our time together, bless our time and your word. And Father, I just want to be a blessing to these dear saints of yours. Father, we are in this together, and Father, we are facing many things in these last days. There's going to be trials, and there's going to be tribulations coming up from over the horizon, around the corner, down the road, and we need to be strong, and we need to be the best Christians that we can. And Father, we are asking you to help us with this. Father, we are asking you, Father, to help us to be strong and victorious Christians for you. And Father, this can only be done, Father, by following your principles and having your love and your words in our hearts. And Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Amen. I like this pulpit as tall as Brother Mix is. I figure he'd have it a lot taller. And I'd be doing this, you know. This is just right. This is just right. I can see if it's any closer with these progressive bifocus things. I can't see anything. You know, when you get a certain age, it's this way, and your arms isn't long enough. You know, you either get new glasses or a longer arm. So it's cheaper to get new glasses, and it hurts less. And so here's an ironic thing here. Now, by the way, as I was preparing for this, I've been thinking about this message for about 3 weeks, and I've been making progress to it. I've preached it before. I thought it would be a blessing, something I could preach to you. But as I begin to study it, there's been opposition, there's been trial, there's been somewhat of a redirecting. Some things have come out and jumped out at me. I don't know if I'm going to get all the main purpose of this message to you, because there are some very important things that comes out of this message that we must get. It is a message in itself. And so as I proceed, then we'll see why was Joseph refused? I mean, after all, he had all the right stuff. I mean, when we talk about anyone in the scripture who seemed to be quite faultless and most like Jesus Christ, we often choose Joseph. And Joseph was definitely in the heart line in that Jacob loved Rachel and Jacob loved Joseph and Benjamin. Rachel was the chosen wife. Nevertheless, Leah became his wife. And you know, if you know the story, if you're familiar with the story, Jacob was deceived. He was deceiving and he got deceived. It says this about the wicked: deceiving and being deceived. And it's amazing how that goes back and forth. You see it in the news. You see it in Congress. We see it in the world scene, where all the money is. People running to deceive, and then before you know it, they're being deceived and they're hurt, and then back and forth. And that's how. And God had to bring Jacob out of that lifestyle in order for him to use Jacob. And so as a result, he has two wives and concubines servants called concubines later on, and 12 children from these relationships and strife in the middle of all this. Nevertheless, the grace of God prevails. And so I would like to go now to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. Joseph, a prized specimen of a man of God, starting from his youth even. And there are some points that are important to bring out as we look at Joseph. And let's look at verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now, what happened here? Joseph was being done wrong by his brothers. And Joseph was sold as a slave by his brothers. Now, as we go back again, let's go all the way back to Genesis 37. What brought Joseph to this diabolical plan? To be sold as a slave. I mean, the original plan was to kill him. The original plan was murderous. But it all somewhat started back when in 37 verse 1, and Jacob dwelt in a land wherein his father was a stranger, and the land of Canaan. And there was, and these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. The lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, and his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, you would stop there and say, well, Joseph must have been a spoiled brat. He would actually tell his bigger brothers and get him in trouble. But, you know, Joseph was trusted in a very special way. He was favored, but maybe Jacob should not have favored him, but he was a different child. And verse 3 says, Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now, a parent should not just decide to favor one arbitrarily, favor a child. Now, but nevertheless, we know that the envy and the hatred that his brothers had for him had no place and no reason and no excuse. And we'll find out later on that the character of his brothers followed them. And I would say that their character is more due to the example of Jacob, their father, and maybe the mother as well. But Jacob didn't have a very clean life, a very good example. And so I would think that their stony, dark hearts was due primarily to their father, their own lust and envy. There's no excuse for envy. I want to say in verse 4, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream. To make matters worse, to put more of a monkey wrench into this idea. Now, listen, I am all for treating all the kids the same. We need to do that. All your children ought to be loved the same. But if one does wrong and needs a punishment, you don't punish the whole children. You don't punish everybody. If one needs a pat on the back, do you have to pat everyone on the back? If someone does something in school and has a great day and you come home and say, wonderful, wonderful, do you got to say, wonderful to you, wonderful to you, wonderful to you? We find ourselves doing that sometimes. Why? Envy. Jealousy. One sibling gets jealous and you find that, you could score straight A's. And you, John, wonderful D you got there. You done your best, I think. Oh, you did a great job. You got to find something to say. Nowadays, psychologists are saying, if you're going to say something negative about your child, find two positive things. You may as well shut up and say nothing. It's impossible. From morning to evening, you have to be teaching your children the word of God, admonishing, and directing, nourishing, and discipline. It takes a lot of it. It takes more no's than yes to raise a child. And so here, we spend a lot of time with, how terrible Jacob was in favoring Joseph. Oh, yeah, because he is the child of his old age, sure. But, you know, God got into the picture of this. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, at this dream, which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said unto him, "Thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams, for his words. Now, I know God can do anything he wants. He's God. If he wants to stoke the fire of their hateful, wicked hearts, then he can do it. You hate your brother because your father loves him more? Because you're so good, so righteous, I'm gonna bring you down so low. you're gonna know that you're not worthy of the least of God's mercy, as Jacob said. And his brethren said, and he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren in verse 9, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? So I, my mother, and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth." And his brethren envied him. Now, they didn't say, "Yo, you liar." They knew, as we suppose, they knew that it came from God. They knew that God was favoring him, and they didn't like it. They envied. They killed Jesus Christ because of envy. The Pharisees did, by the way. They had the envy. The ones who knew they were sinners, they didn't have the envy. The Pharisees did. They envied him. But his father observed a saying. There's no excuse for envy and hatred. These were not foreign enemies, outside enemies. These were his brothers. A lot of our worst times and enemies come from our own family. He would say, wait a minute, I mean, even Jacob would bow down? We don't condone parents bowing down to children or anything like that. But you know, there may come a day where you're old and decrepit, and you may need to come into the house of your son or daughter, or son-in-law and daughter-in-law, and you're going to have to accept their ways and be polite and be kind, because you change their diapers, and one day they change yours. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Hopefully that you never come to that. Hopefully I die before that. But nevertheless, we have to understand these things, that it may come a time when you have to sit under. I know a lot of pastors whose father is sitting under their ministry. Their mother is sitting under their ministry. Okay, their father led them to the Lord, but they're sitting under their ministry. It's a good thing when God is in it, when it's done by faith. I mean, you don't understand, why does he or she have all the talent and all the favor and all the attention, and I don't? There's two ways to handle apparent injustice. The Joseph way or the 10 brothers way. Now, Benjamin was not in the picture that way yet. And so parents should not favor their children at all. We know that. But there are times where you have a child or two who's not causing you heartaches every day. They're obedient. Now, it doesn't mean that they would turn out that way. We've seen it. Obedient, good children turn out to be devils. And those who were rebellious come to the census, and then they're a pastor one day, or the missionary, or they're in church with their kids. We know that. It doesn't mean that they will be as they are. But it does mean that we have to be wise and careful about how we nurture the good that comes out of a child, and restrain and push back and clean away the wickedness and the laziness and all the other distractions that children pick up in their lives. Without taking this philosophy of fairness, siblings, I remember. Sometimes my two brothers, I had two brothers and one sister, and sometimes we kind of get into somewhat of a quarrel. Sometimes, often we get into a quarrel. And I remember one time I was doing the dishes. I must have been 12. 13, 14, somewhere along. I was doing the dishes, and my sister, my younger sister, she's 3 years younger than me, she came downstairs, and she said something sassy. I was supposed to be watching everybody, she sassied me, she said something, and I got angry. I took a fork. Now, don't do this at home, okay, anybody? And I just threw it at her. And the fork stuck in the floor. And she looked at it and she cried. She ran upstairs. And I said, oh boy, that's how kind of person, I was. The fork stuck in the floor. I had to take it out. One time, my brother, I got mad at him. He did something. And he was in the bed. I took my shoe And I threw it at him. Bop on the head. He had a hickey on his head. Now, I was more afraid of getting in trouble than what I did to my brother. You know, we do that back and forth, siblings. Envy, hatred, lyings. God said there's no reason for it. And we should not seek to excuse our sins and the way of life and blame it on mom and dad. You are responsible for your own sins. And God had a reason for you not getting the best of this or not getting the best of that, or why you were born like this, or why you had these looks, or why you had this color. They could not be peaceful with them. But yet, Joseph failed not to give the prophecy of the Lord. I bet he thought, I'm going to give this prophecy. My brother's already not liking me. And he gives the truth anyway. It may seem as though that there's a conflict of interest there. But he gave it anyway. And so he gives the prophecy. And they hate him even more. And then and Joseph is given a responsibility to go down and see where his brothers are sharing and what he's doing. And verse 13 says, And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I, an obedient Joseph. And so he goes to Shechem and then to Dothan. While he is far off, in verse 18 says, And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Oh, that was nice. There is no justification for murderous plans, for hatred. I used to have them all in my heart all the time. Oh, I'm not big enough to beat him after he talked to me like that. But in my mind, I am just punching that face out. Oh, boy. I'm watching him get all crushed up and everything, and there's blood and guts. What you think is what you are. What you think is what you are. They were angry. But look. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast have devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. They were more angry at God than they were at Joseph. Are you walking in envy? You got somebody that kind of gets under your collar. You got some regrets how that you were not favored, and somebody else got that job. Someone else got that favor. Someone else got a mama and daddy's love more than you did, as you think. Somebody else got the push that you should have gotten. And you're steaming over that. Well, and when it comes, if you got this situation, that situation, and this situation, when it comes down to it, you are mad at God more than you are mad at those individuals. Let's see what becomes of his dreams. And so they conspired. Now, God used this situation to bring them low and humble them. Okay? There is none righteous. No, not one. That could be any one of us. And it has been probably most of us, if not all of us, we have been ensnared in envy, jealousy. You say, why did God favor Joseph For some reason, Joseph had a different spirit. For some reason, now he is evidently he was good looking. I don't know if he was better looking than anybody else, but he was good looking. He had a trustworthy spirit. He was honest, and he didn't have any fear about speaking up about what's evil and what's happening. He was a witness. He was a light. He was obedient to his father. In verse 23, it says, "And it came to pass that when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him." And God said that, his coat of many colors. We see that as a big mistake that Jacob did, but God doesn't. His coat of many colors. I don't think it was his coat. His coat of many colors. No. God put favor on him for a reason. His coat of many colors. They took it off of him. You're gonna see it again. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites." Oh, how nice! Yeah. And let us not let our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and flesh. Okay. And so the Midianites, they passed by. And Reuben was the first one to say, "Don't do this. Don't kill him. It's not right." And Judah says, "Hey, yeah, but let's just sell him." And so they had cast him down to the pit. They decided to sell him. And Reuben had gone off and hoping to come back again to get him out of the pit. And then they had sold him to the Ishmaelites. Reuben finding out, he says, "Oh no, he's gone." And he says, "Then where should I go?" Once again, it's me, me, me. Me, me, me. What's going to happen to me? He never ever told his father Jacob what his brothers had done to Joseph. And he said, "Where shall I go?" And they sent the coat of many colors, and then brought it to their father. And of course, Jacob sees it, and he's weeping, and because there's blood on it, and he supposed that a wild beast had come and killed him. And so he goes down into Egypt, and he's sold to Potiphar. Now his brothers were not saints, were not angels. We look at Judah's life. Judah's life was a life. He had gone out to a harlot. He had relationship with his daughter-in-law after his son died. It's just one thing after the other there. And then Reuben went up to his father's couch, his father's concubine, committed adultery, whoredom. If his father's concubine, Bilhah, that's Reuben. But look, in verse 239 says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous." He was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. Oh, found grace in his sight too. I wonder why. Seems like everywhere he goes, he finds favor and grace. I wonder why. This didn't start in Egypt. This started way back in his own home, under his own father. God will give us favor if we honor him. But how do you handle being done wrong? Oh, his brothers thought that they were being done wrong, and that's how they handled it. They hated him. Joseph knew that he was being done wrong, and he kept the communication lines open with God. And everything that he did prospered. And it doesn't say, but God was with Joseph, and God was with Joseph. He was with them all the way. And so whatever was done was put in Joseph's hand. That Potiphar didn't even look to anything. He was so trusted. God was with him. And so their wife, the master's wife, began to ask him to lie with them. He said, no, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph was a man who, a young man, who had he had the fear of God and he had gratitude of heart. Gratitude. I'm here. Yes, I'm a slave, but I am here. And I am over all the household. And I'm doing, I have all these things. How can I sin against God after he's done all this for me? No, gratefulness in the Christian world is at an all-time low. Being thankful at an all-time low. Fear of God at an all. Now listen, we have all kinds of books out there. We have all kinds of medias out there. All kinds of TV preachers out there. But it's give me, give me, give me, give me. What to expect? What's your expectation? What do you need? What do you deserve? But here's a man that was grateful, and so he called him by the coat and he grabbed his garment and he got out of there. I wonder how Reuben would have done in that situation. After going up to his father's couch, I think he would have failed. The Bible says that if you faint in adversity, then your strength is small. Your adversity tells what you are. It doesn't necessarily make you. It has a dual purpose. But in this case, the adversity was revealing gold. And here, and Joseph finds himself now, after this, in prison for something he didn't do. His wife, the wife of Potiphar, goes to him and accuses Joseph. And Joseph finds himself in prison for something he didn't do. And while he is in prison, the keeper of the prison, commits everything unto Joseph. And once again, he finds favor. And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Oh, it seems to go everywhere he goes. And everything prospers in his hands again. And it came to pass that the butler, and I won't go too much detail because of our time, but the butler, the Pharaoh's butler, and the baker finds himself in prison. Now, these both, I believe, had transgressed. It wasn't just that the butler was more righteous than the baker in particular. They both came in and they dreamed dreams and they woke up the next morning troubled. And Joseph, passing by, saw that they were troubled. He was assigned to these two men. He was assigned to serve these two men. Here's Joseph, a servant of servants. He's in prison, and he's serving in prison. Oh, I wonder how we would do if we were in prison for the wrong reason. I wonder how we would do if God seemed to just let the storms come. Oh, it seems as though everywhere I go, there's a storm cloud over me. I wonder how your relationship would be with God. I wonder how much you would think about others who are suffering instead of yourself. Yeah, the butler dreams a dream, and there's three vines, and he takes the grapes from the vine and squeezes it into Pharaoh's cup, and then he wakes up. And the baker, in his dream, there's three baskets and there's meat on top, and the birds come and eat it up, and he wakes up. He's troubled. And Joseph interprets their dream, and it says that, okay, baker, I mean, butler, you're going to be, in 3 days, you're going to have your head lifted up, and you're going to be out of prison. You're going to be doing the same thing as a butler, squeezing, putting wine into your master's hand. And the butler, the baker, his lot in 3 days was to have his head hanged. And he's going to die. And it happened such. And Jacob says, and Joseph says, when you are free, have mercy on me and tell what happened. Because I did nothing wrong to be in here. And I was sold as a slave. But it says here in verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And so, but yet, you know, people forget things for different reasons. I don't think that he had senility or dementia or anything like that. I mean, after he's out of prison, he's rejoicing. Everything is going great. He forgot. And so he goes on, and the Pharaoh has a dream. And as you know, he has a dream. There's seven fat cows, kind, come up out of the water and they're feeding. And then out of the river, seven lean cows come up. And then the seven lean cow eat up the fat cows. And then they're just as lean as though they had nothing to eat. And then he wakes up. And then seven ears of corn grow up in one stalk, fat and juicy. And then seven more ears grow up, lean and blasted by the wind. And the lean corn eats up the fat corn, and it's just as lean as could be. He wakes up. He calls all the magicians, and he calls all the wise men. And they could not answer the dream. You know, there's dark powers out there, and they know their limits. It's not all trickery. You must fight this battle on our knees, prayer, and the word of God, faith. It's a faith that overcometh the world. And so they knew they couldn't interpret this dream. You weren't going to come up with a funny story or a clever story, a vague interpretation, a vague prophecy out of this story. And so the butler says, I know of a man, a Hebrew. That word Hebrew appeared here when it's mentioned by the wife of Potiphar, this Hebrew. You know, a lot of things that come against us isn't so much because of us, it's because of our faith. We are different. As the Hebrews were different, so we ought to be different in this world. All they that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. You have not suffering anything, but maybe not living so godly. Are you included in all the fun things at work, school, among your friends, and there's no problem? Maybe you ought to check to see how godly you're living. What do you watch? Are you comfortable with watching the same things that your friends of the world may be watching? All they that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. And just like this Hebrew Joseph sent him to mock us. And so he's a Hebrew. Pharaoh said, call him up here. So he comes up and interprets the dream. And in due process of time, Pharaoh says, let's make this man over all this task. In 7 years, it'll be 7 years of great plenty and 7 years of famine. And Joseph says, I want you, if you do this, that is, just save up all that you can during the 7 years of plentiness. One fifth of the land. And so it's going to be 7 years of drought, and you forget the 7 years of plentiness. And so, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? The Spirit of God is. After all he's been through, we've seen people who's been through deception. They've been violated, and they've been beaten, and they're so bitter. Joseph's been through a lot here. If I think we all can agree, but yet the Spirit of God was still there. The Spirit of God is still there. And if you are a born-again Christian, you can take the things that happen to you and turn it into gold. And the Spirit of God can be there. Oh, you shouldn't be in envy. The Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of them. No matter how much money they have, no matter how much money you don't have, you have Jesus Christ. You have an inheritance in heaven. But Now, the story will go on a lot longer. How that Joseph finally, during the 7 years of famine, he sees his brothers come up for corn, to buy corn. And he puts them in somewhat of a test, he calls them all spies. You're spies. He talks to an interpreter. No, we're not spies, he says. Well, for proof, he says, you bring me your youngest son and keep Simeon here. So they take their goods, they load them with their goods, and then they put the money back into their sacks. Along the way, they find that the money, as they go home, the money is still in their sacks. And it's, oh, what is God doing to us? Yeah, God is doing a lot of things to all of us, isn't he? And so he goes, and after they return home for a while, Jacob said, up, go, get some more. And they say, well, we can't do that unless we take Benjamin. Jacob said, oh, no. They wait a little bit longer. And Reuben says, if I don't return with your son, with Benjamin, kill my two sons. How about kill me? Kill my two sons. Oh, what a noble man he is. Kill him. Well, they didn't go up. You know, Reuben's unstable as water, the Bible says. Unstable as water. But when it came time again to go up, you could have been up by this time. Judah says, the blame will be on me if Benjamin does not come back. It'll be on me. So they go up, and as the story goes, I think most of you know, they go up and they take a bomb and spices and they give it to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, "I have your money. It's okay. It's all right. Come and let's eat. They eat, and they're having a fine time, and then they get ready to go again. The cup goes into Benjamin's. It is planted in Benjamin's sack, that cup, Pharaoh's cup, without them knowing. So they go off again, and Joseph sends after them for that cup. Before they get back to their home, Pharaoh's soldier says, someone took Pharaoh's cup. No, not me. No way. Okay. So they begin to check each of their bags down to Benjamin. And they find Pharaoh's cup in Benjamin's sack. So they rent their clothes and they go back. And at this time, they had rent their clothes. It was a very scary time for them all. I mean, after all, Pharaoh, it was said that the ones who the cup belongs, that person will come back as a slave. And he overtook them. I read from 44 and verse 16. He overtook them and spake unto them these words. And they said unto him, wherefore has my servant these words? God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks mouth, he brought again unto thee. out of the hand of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's servant. This is Judah speaking up. And he said, now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes, and laid every man his ass, and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? Why is Judah speaking up? Shouldn't that be Reuben? He's the oldest. But it's Judah. What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out our iniquity of thy servant. Found out the iniquity of us of thy servant. Behold, we are the Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whom the cup, in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And ye, and as for you, you get you up in peace unto your father. Now we come to the point here where you see division. You see, Joseph done really, we're going a little bit late, but we're going to be finished this one. Joseph done really well. I mean, he was the exemplary Christian, per se. I mean, he took adversity and he shined bright. He kept the communication lines open with God. And when the Pharaoh needed somebody to do something, to give an answer, he could give it because he got it from God. And then Judah came there. Why is Judah chosen? Well, God dealt with them, no doubt. But look, then Judah came near and said, oh, my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ear, and let not thine anger be turned against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. So he goes, he explains everything. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have ye a father or a brother? And we said, and then he goes and he explains everything. And then he said, in verse 23, and thou says unto thy servant, except your younger brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And then he explains how he's surety to his father, and that his father's life is wrapped up in his son. And then he says this in verse 33, now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman, to my Lord. And let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Now, this is the kind of Christianity that you ought to have. Now listen, Judah had no idea whether or not Benjamin took that cup. He had no idea. It was in his sack. How did it get there? All he knew that Benjamin was going to be taken. But he said, nonetheless, take me instead. Take me. Let me be your servant. And I believe if it was let me die, he would have said, let me die. That's what makes the difference. Now, listen, By all means, we ought not to be as the 10 brothers. By all means. And by all means, we ought to strive to be as Joseph, clear and spotless as we could be in this world, talking and walking with the Lord. But there is another step that doesn't take much more process, but to have a heart that is willing to suffer for others. And all this, you use this to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 5, it says, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither took to look therein. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which have seven spirits of God sent from all the earth. The lamb, he could open the book. He conquered because he became the lamb. The Lion of Judah, the lamb. Everyone has a book that has to be opened. Many lost people out there. You got some Christian brothers and sisters who are suffering out there who need somebody to lift them up and to help them. You have the world is looking for a light, an answer. Who is worthy to open that book? Someone who will, as the Lamb did, be willing to suffer and to suffer loss and still have that communion with the Lord. Is that you? One day when you see Jesus Christ, it's all going to matter. It's all going to matter. And you're going to think, you're going to say, I wish I'd done more. I wish I'd done more. Like that song. By and by, when I look on his face, thorn shadow face, beautiful face, by and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more, more, so much more, more of my life than e'er I did give. By and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. Yeah, it'd be too late then, though. Now's the time to see those thorns on his face. By and by, he's look on his hands, nail-riven hands. By and by, now, take up your crosses and be that Judah. Wonderful, Tim. The brothers, terrible. Don't find yourself there. Oh, wonderful, Joseph. What a life. But he was refused. And anyone can do that. Not a spotless life, but a repentant life. Now, he had a lot of faults. He didn't quite do everything right. But he said, punish me instead. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. If you're here today and you say, Brother Downs, I don't know Jesus Christ. I'm a member here, and I'm having some doubts, and I would like to know that I have that relationship, that I have that that security, that I'm not sure that I've understood, or I've been here, and I don't have that security of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And I would like for you to pray for me. Raise your hand if there's anyone here. I believe that everyone's probably in the Lord, but if you're here today and you say, I am not born again, and I want to know more about this, please pray for me. Anyone here? And you say, okay, I am born again. I'm a Christian, but there's something in this message that spoke to me this night. Raise your hand. I'd like to pray for you. Okay, all right. Let's all stand. If God's spoken to you, this is prayer night. And the altar is open. You can come. You can pray. This is a primary task for today's Christian, where everyone had been offended, everyone had been cheated, everyone have trouble. What will you do? Will you be a Judah? The invitation, it won't be long. Come if God is speaking to you. If God is speaking to you. The altars are here, is here for the purpose of prayer, dedication, that you're not ashamed. You're not ashamed of your decision. You're not ashamed of saying, I want to overcome the things that's been keeping me back. I've been standing here in the 10 brother slot for a long time. I want to get out of it. I want to get the hatred out of my life. I want to get the hatred for my mom and dad out of my life. I want to get the hatred for my brothers out of my life, or for my sister out of my life, for my friends, or for God, for him not doing me right as I thought. But maybe you've conquered that and you're not ministering and serving and offering yourself as a living sacrifice. Don't be ashamed of what God is doing in your heart. Come to this altar and God will bless you for your decision. You can pray there where you're at, yes, but the altar is here for those who will openly say that God is speaking to me. Has the Lord spoken to you? God loves you. We are all God's favorite. Oh, but blessed is the one who does God's commandment, and he will come in, and he will sup with you, and him with you, and him, and you with him. He'll give you that special attention because you have made a decision to walk in his path.
Won't you come while we tarry for these? Thank you, Brother James, for the message tonight. All right. Thank you very much. We'll remind everybody that there's a